was Rachel and Leia. I don't know. That's what, right?
Yeah, we ended up doing just
Rachel. Oh, splitting it?
And yeah, we're splitting it.
Okay, and so this week we're going to do Rivka. And so what I wanted to do, everyone has a packet in front of them, is there's a pivotal moment that takes place when Yitzchak and Rivka meet. And there are three things that actually happen at that moment, in that scene, when they meet. It's also very interesting that in this relationship, the Torah invites us in at ground zero. We're invited into the scene where they first see each other. So for example, when Avram and Sarah come on the scene, they're already married, they're already working together, they're already a team. We don't know how they ended up together. We really don't know what their dynamic is like. We see things later on, but when they first show up, Sarah is with Abraham and going to Haran. But here, on the moment that Yitzchak and Rivka meet, we have two people meeting each other for the very first time. And three transformative things happen to Yitzchak at that moment. And at the same time, there's a transformation that takes place within Rivka. So what I'd like to do is look at those verses, look at those psukim, where they see each other, where they meet, and then the chavruta part will be to try and figure out, almost like Hansel and Gretel, what are the clues in the psukim that guide us to understanding what is so pivotal about this moment in time that the Torah opens up with us stepping into this intimate meeting between the two of them. So if you look on the first page, the psukim are found in Perek Chav Dalet. Perek Chav Dalet is a tremendously long, detailed perek. It's the story where Eliezer goes to Haran to find Rivka, and he meets her at the well, speaks with the family of Lavan and Bituel, brings her back to Knaan, and it's in Pasuk Samech Aleph, or verse 61, where the journey from Haran to Knaan takes place. And the Torah tells us as follows, Batakam Rivka vina aroteha, batirkavna al hagmalim, batelachna acharei haish, vayikacha eved et Rivka vayelach. And Rebecca and her maids arose, mounted the camels, and followed the man. The man is Eliezer here. And the servant took Rebecca and went his way. Vayitzchak ba mibo be'er lachai ro'i, vihu yoshev hanegev. Isaac had just come back from the vicinity of Be'er Lachai Ro'i, for he was settled in the region of the Negev. Vayeta Yitzchak lasuach basadeh lifnot arev, vayisa ena vayar vihine gmalim ba'im. And Isaac went out walking in the field toward evening, and looking up, he saw camels approaching. Vatisa Rivka et eneha, vatera et Yitzchak, vatipol me'al hagamal. And raising her eyes, Rebecca saw Yitzchak. She alighted from the camel, even though that's really nice language. Batipol means she fell off the camel. So alighted is like nice and gentle. And she fell off the camel. Batomer el ha'eved, and she says to the servant, Mi ha'ish ha'lazeh ha'olech basadeh likratenu? Who is that man walking in the field towards us? And the servant said, Vayomer ha'eved hu adoni, that this is my master. Vatikach ha'tza'if vatitkas. So she took her veil and covered herself. Vayisaper ha'eved liyitzchak et kol hadvarim ha'ela. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Vayivieha yitzchak ha'ohala sarah imo. Vayikach et rivka vatihi lo li'isha vaye'eha veha. Vayinachem Yitzchak acharei imo. Isaac then brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he took Rebekah as his wife. Isaac loved her and thus found comfort after his mother's death. So there are three things that happen in these verses. The first thing that happens is that for the first time ever in Yitzchak's life, we actually see Yitzchak doing something. Until now, Yitzchak has been a receptacle or a vessel upon which things happen to him. He is the son that is prayed for. He is the son that because of him, somebody is exiled and banished from the house. He is the son who is bound to the altar. He is, right? He is, but we haven't actually seen him do anything. He's been the person who things have been done to. And here we see that Yitzchak lifts his eyes. He takes Rebecca. He brings her back to his mother's tent, right? He loves her and he is comforted. So suddenly we get some action or a sense almost of who Yitzchak is. These are Yitzchak's defining moments. This is when Yitzchak is finally stepping into his shoes of who he is meant to become. So number one, we see a transformation in Yitzchak that he is active. The second thing that we see is that there is a shift in the narrative. It is in this story, in these verses, that the Torah starts to focus on Yitzchak. Even when it comes to finding a wife, it was done for him. It's the story of Eliezer, and it's the story of Rivka, and it's the story of Lavan. And Yitzchak is waiting for this wife. But at this moment, the narrative shifts, and it becomes the story about Yitzchak. It's no longer Avraham's story, but it is Yitzchak's story. The third thing that happens in these psukim is that the promises that Hashem gave to Avraham, the promises of you will have a nation and you will have a legacy and they will settle, you know, you will be blessed in the land, now is being passed on to somebody. It's the moment when Yitzchak marries that what Hashem told Avraham is not just this rare, beautiful moment in history, but rather it becomes alive and it becomes a legacy, because with this marriage there will be children and there will be the passing on of these promises. So these are the three things that transform in these psukim. We see Yitzchak becoming an active person. We see a shift in the narrative where it's no longer Abraham's story and Yitzchak is just a part of it, but rather it is his story. And the promises that Hashem promised Abraham now become alive and become something that can be passed on because a legacy is being created, right? One person, it doesn't work. If Avraham dies, everything dies with Avraham. And if Yitzchak doesn't marry, it all stops there. So what I want you to do in the Chavruta time, in these psukim, we can gain insight into these psukim about who Yitzchak is, where he is in his mindset, and who Rivka is, and the establishment of their, I don't know, can we call it a complicated relationship, the relationship between the two of them? And everything starts, all the seeds, all the breadcrumbs to the rest of Bereshit are planted in these verses. So as we look through the Mekorot, I want you to look for clues about Yitzchak. And so I divided up the packet into Yitzchak clues based on these psukim, and also we'll find somewhere along the way there should be Rivka clues somewhere. Does it say Rivka clues somewhere? It does. Like many pages later, there are Rivka clues, and from these clues or these breadcrumbs that the Torah gives us, we're going to be able to have tremendous insight and understanding into Yitzchak and Rivka. And that's where I guess we can, I don't know how you want to do a chavruta right now, or we could do it together as a group, or the three of you can learn together. What do you prefer? Okay. So we can do that. Otherwise, I'm happy for us to, you know, do it together.
Are we just doing it together?
It's pretty chill.
There's no chill.
The Torah tells us that Yitzchak lifts his eyes and sees the camel. And everyone sort of wants, right? What is it with the camel that is so important? What are the breadcrumbs of Hansel and Gretel that this setting gives us about Rebecca? Okay? So we know that she's riding a camel. What's the essence of the camel? What does the camel do? What does the camel represent?
Stores water.
Let's find our Rebecca clues. Okay. Where's the Rebecca clues?
Here on Bereshit, but it's just Bereshit.
Rivka clues.
Okay.
Okay, does someone want to, maybe you can read it together in Hebrew or in English. Look at the Rivka clues.
Where are you? Sorry.
And the here.
Next page. Oh, okay.
The next page.
Next page.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, okay.
Anyone want to read?
Does someone want to read it?
Okay, English. Go.
I can read the Hebrew here. It has in the Kodesh.
Okay. We have both, the Hebrew and the English.
Vayihu terem hila, l'daber lihine rifka yatzeit, asher yolda l'betuel, ben... Milka, Eshes Nahor, Achi Abraham, Mekida al Sichma. He had scarcely finished speaking when Rebekah, who was born to Petuel, the son of Milka, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. Okay. Mehanaar Tovat Mare, Maod, Betula, Iish Loyada, Batered Haana, Batimale, Kada, Bataal. The maiden was very beautiful, a virgin whom no man had known. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up. Who are we talking about? Oh,
Rivka.
Oh, okay.
This is the fine story. This Eliezer is Rivka at the well,
got
correct,
it
with Eliezer,
got
correct.
It. Okay. It's a good thing you know where I am. Vayarata eved lekrata, vayomer hagmi'ini, na me'at mayem mikadech. The servant ran toward her and said, please let me sip a little water from your jar. Vatomer shte adani, Vatimaher, Vatired Kada al Yada, Vatishkehu. Drink, my lord, she said, and she quickly lowered her jar upon her hand and let him drink. Vitichal lehashkoto, Vatomar gam ligmalech eshav, ad im kilulishtot. When she had let him drink his fill, she said, I will also draw for your camels until they finish drinking. Vatimaher, Vitaar Kada el hashoket, Batarat od al ha'be'er lishov v'tishav l'chol gemalav. Quickly emptying her jar into the trough, she ran back to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. Very, very strong girl.
Why? Yes, absolutely, by the way. Physically strong also, 100%.
At 3 years old.
So, now, so what does the text yes tell us? How does Rivka come riding in? What is he, right?
Look at camel.
Al ha'gamal. So why is that so important? Why do we need to know that she comes back on it? Why do we need to know in our verses when they meet, right? In our psukim, when they meet. Batir kavna al hagmalim, and he lifts his eyes and he sees the camel. So what is that? What is the camel?
The symbol of her chesed.
Good. The camel. Right. The camel is definitely the symbol of her chesed. What else is it? 100%?
It also stores water.
Alright.
Water and Torah, maybe.
Okay, alright, you can play with the water.
Right,
maybe
I thought
that's
of that
the idea. But the camel is what made Rivka suitable for Yitzchak, right? That was the test.
Right.
The blue ribbon is
that she
watered the camel,
right?
So she comes in riding on
the camel,
the camel, right? Because that was the that was going to be the what made her worthy of being his wife, right? Mm-hmm. So that camel is everything that Rivka stands for. That camel is her kindness. That camel is her graciousness and her generosity and her warmth and her strength. I'm totally gonna play with that, right? And her strength, her physical strength and her endurance, right? She's not gonna stop until she's done, which maybe becomes very important later on, right? That nothing stops Rivka.
Right.
Right? She sees what needs to be done.
She does.
And she navigates it and figures out how to get to her end. So there is a strength, and it's physical strength as well as an endurance or a
emotional
consistency, that right, a constancy that she has inside of her. So she comes on this camel, and she's filled with chesed. And why is that the perfect wife for?
Sarah and Abraham. That's who they were, chesed.
That's who they are, right?
Uh-huh.
So who is Rivka? Who is Rivka?
A replacement for Sarah.
She's also the niece.
She's also the role.
So she comes from the family,
yeah.
Correct? By the
right.
way, the
right.
wife of Yitzchak, also, really who Rivka is. Rivka is Abraham. Rivka is
right.
Abraham in the female.
Right.
Because what is Abraham most known for?
Chesed.
His chesed. Mm-hmm. If you look at the verses where those three angels come,
mm-hmm.
he runs, he prepares, he cooks, he tells them to sit down. There's verb after verb after verb of Abraham being proactive and active. And in the same story with Rivka and Eliezer, it is verb after verb after verb of her chesed. She really is Abraham. Not only does she have the chesed that Abraham has, but if you pay attention, I don't know if I brought it here or not, because it was just, it was a lot. Hold on a second. Okay, go to the back page. Look at where it says Bereshit Chaf Dalid Nun to Nun Aleph, and then the next box of Bereshit Chaf Dalid Nun Zayin Rusamech. So there is something going on in these two boxes that are also clues to who Rivka is. So if someone wants to read them.
Good, Darby, you're doing a good job.
Emma, you don't want it? The last page. The last page. Turn to the next page.
Maybe at the back of the left.
The very back page.
The first box.
Genesis 24, 50 to 51, and then Genesis 24, 57 through 60.
Vayam Laban, Tuel, Namru, Mehashem, Yatzah, Hadavar, Lo, Mechal, Daber, Ilachar, Ra, Otov. Hine Rivka, Lefanecha, Kach, Alech, Utihi, Isha, Leben, Adonecha, Hasher, Diber, Hashem. So, Laban and Tuel answered, the matter was decreed by the Lord, by Hashem, we cannot speak to you bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you, take her and go, and let her be a wife to your master's son, as the Lord has spoken.
Okay, so she gets permission, right, from Laban and Tuel.
They don't sound so
go.
Happy about it.
What?
They don't sound so happy
yeah.
about it.
Right, they're not, well, they let her go. They wanted her to stay a little while longer, right? And they say, Kach va'lech. Take her and go.
Before we change our mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
that's
good.
What it
before we
like,
change
right?
our mind.
But
also,
so,
like, how does that.
Gracious.
Not, but now, here, look at the next box.
It's almost
and
like
then
the
we'll
lech
see
lech
something
lech,
else.
Right?
Yeah.
It's her life lech lech
lech. Lech.
Mm-hmm. That's really all we need.
Right.
What happens there?
Will you go with this man? Let us call the girl and ask
mm-hmm.
for her. Reply, they called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will.
Aleph, I will go. right?
Right.
That should sound very familiar. What?
It's Avraham's Lech Lecha.
It's Avraham's Lech Lecha, and this is Rivka's Lech Lecha, right? She, like Avraham, she has to abandon her family. She has to travel a distance. She has to journey within herself in order to become, right, in order to accept her future role. And what? And Rivka understands what is going on here, and she says, Eilech, I will go, which is very Rivka-like. Rivka is assertive. Rivka is active. But if you look in the box before, okay, what do they say in Pasuk Nun Aleph? Hine Rivka lefanecha kach va'lech. What is kach va'lech?
Take
and take her and go. Which really makes Rivka what?
Passive.
It makes her passive, right? Here's an object. Here's a woman. You want her. Take her and go, right? But Rivka says, but then they decide, they asked her, by the way, right? And she said, I will go, Eilech. So she is literally Avraham. So she is going to go to Canaan. She is going to sort of be the domino that allows Yitzchak to stop thinking about the past, stop being lost in what was. Rivka is all about the future. Rivka is all about, I will go, I will do, I will act and change and take care. And she's the one who sort of enables Yitzchak to become more active. It's because of Rivka that the paradigm shifts from Avraham's story, because she is Avraham, right? Mm-hmm. She's the continuation of Avraham, that Yitzchak is able to do what he needs to do, not only to continue his father's legacy, but every legacy, you can't only just do what was done. You also have to be innovative. And you, right, because the times change. You can't just do exactly what your father did. You also have to navigate the times. And so Rivka gives Yitzchak that energy to do that. Except, here's the part that to me is unbelievable. So now, let's go back to the beginning. Our scene. Of all the clues are there in front of us, hidden under a veil. We cannot get the clue by searching for. We have to search for the veil instead. So here we have, but look at Pasuk Samach Aleph. I want you to see the transition that takes place in Rivka. Vatakam Rivka, she gets up. Vatirkavna al hagmalim, and they mount the camels. And now, who's leading the show? Who is she? What is Rivka doing? She's following after Eliezer. So Rivka, who was completely active and proactive and taking initiative and bringing Eliezer home and running out to him and running to the well and getting the water and doing everything and saying, I will go, suddenly she's behind Eliezer. There's a transformation. While Yitzchak is going to be brought out of his shadows, Rivka has to change. Rivka changes. Okay? To like sort of keep the equilibrium.
She doesn't change fully, though.
Not fully.
Yeah.
She doesn't change fully.
She
has to figure out how to be who she is.
Which is
in Canaan. Correct. She has to figure out how to live and be herself in the tent, not on the outside of the tent. Correct. So what happens now? Vayikach ha'eved et Rivka.
Vayelech.
What is that echo?
It echoes
the kach valech, take her and go.
Right.
And what does the Eved do?
He takes her.
Eved et Rivka, and suddenly Rivka, who is center and front and filled with life, she's the one behind, she's the one being taken, she is, right, there's a transformation taking place in Rivka. And then, but she's still herself. If you go to Pasuk, Samech Dalad, okay, or Yitzchak is out in the field, searching, davening, lamenting, grieving, seeking, being lost, whatever Yitzhak is doing, he's certainly not laughing. Okay, the laughter only comes after Rivka, right? When they're in Grar, okay? When that relation, she brings the joy back into his life. But, and he lifts his eyes and sees camels. Rivka lifts her eyes and sees Yitzhak, and she falls off the camel. So now what does that mean?
She's sublimating herself.
There's something happening. Yeah. I think. Yes, the Mefarshim say it's tzniut and it's kavod and it all is. But if we want to read the text according to the pshat, according to what this dorbi says, I really think there's some sort of transformation that's taking place in her. She's not riding atop the camel right now, and she's not leading, and she's not being proactive, and she falls off the camel. Right? It says alighted, but she falls off the camel. Batomer El Ha'eved. And maybe she falls and she says, who is that man? She sees him. There is something otherworldly about this person. Maybe it's the Kedusha that's emanating from him. Maybe it's the spirituality. Maybe it's the PTSD. Maybe it's whatever it is. She sees him. She knows this is Yitzchak. She says, who is this? All right? And he tells her, oh, that's my master. Vatikach hatzaif vatitkas. And she takes the scarf and she covers herself. This, you would never see that in Haran. I don't think so. I think she is there. They are asking her opinion. She is saying, I will go. She is running to the Eved. She is running to invite him home. And now she is covered and she is altered. There is no conversation whatsoever between Yitzchak and Rivka. There is a veil between them from the very minute they meet. Maybe they're opposites. She brings, right? She allows Yitzchak to step out of the shadows. He feels comfort. He feels this beautiful love. He feels that now his mother's legacy, this midrash of the light and the bread and the... What's the other one? The nair, the bread, and the...
The challah.
The anan.
The cloud, right. And the anan, right. All these things return. Yitzchak is comforted. But I feel like that Rivka, at the moment that they meet, sacrifices a lot. I feel like the scarf... The same way Yitzchak is bound to the altar, his life is restored to him, but I'm not sure he ever fully recovers until Rivka, with this Akedah, even later on he can't see, right? Somehow that experience, he never fully lives, gets his life back, and I think that scarf holds her back. I think that scarf does something and puts a separation between them until they're inside Sarah's tent, right? And obviously, in that tent, the scarf is not there. In that tent, it's just the two of them. But now, think about the next generation and think about what happens between Yaakov and Esav, right? And the relationship between the parents. And who's the one who runs the show? Right, when it comes to the Bechora, who's the active person?
Rivka
is the active person. Rivka has to almost rediscover herself and figure out how to be Rivka in this family. There's so much love between Yitzchak and Rivka, but it's very complicated. I want to read you something from Dr. Aviva Zorenberg in the book of Genesis and Desire. From the moment that when they meet in the fields, who is that man? She asks, fascinated, alienated. What dialogue is possible between two who have met in such a way? A fatal seepage of doubt and dread affects her, so that she can no longer meet him in the full energy of her difference. She veils herself. He takes her, and she irradiates the darkness of his mother's tent. She is and is not like his mother. She is Sarah, but she's not Sarah. And she is Avraham, but she is not Avraham, right? And she sort of has to figure out who she is. But she is and is not like his mother. Through her, his sense of his mother's existence is healed. But the originating moment of their union is choreographed so that full dialogue will be impossible between them. From this, deceptions, manipulations, maskings will result. A strange breeding ground for the ultimate truth. In this new marriage, a new metabolic balance containing its own seeds of failure and hope is set up. Enmeshed and entangled in her life, truth eventually evolves. So I think that this moment just is an arc from the story of Avraham through the story of Yaakov and ultimately Yosef, because everybody responds, and we're all inside of, like, we're all made up of how we grew up, right? Inside of us is pieces of whatever we grew up with. So what happens in Haran, she ultimately figures out how to bring into her house. She brings Yitzchak out of the shadows. She returns laughter. The blessings of Avraham now have a future. And through the tent, Rivka once again figures out how to do what needs to be done and to make sure, right, that the right child gets the right father.
So don't forget that in, it says here, and the nurse went with.
Yes.
And that nurse,
yes,
is the foreshadowing,
okay,
of Yaakov Avinu. Because remember, Rivka sends Devorah to Yaakov Avinu, and she's the substitute mother.
So you want to say she's the link?
She's the link.
She's the link,
so
from
link.
Haran to
exactly.
Canaan.
Right.
And then
back to Yaakov.
And then
back to Israel.
And back to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we always have somebody who's on a journey,
mm-hmm,
right? Going from Haran to Canaan, right? With promises and hope for the brachot, right?
Right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And isn't she buried? Isn't Deborah buried?